Miss Ava O'Neill walked another block and pivoted right. William trotted to keep up, turning the corner just as a coachman barked, a horse whickered, and another carriage full of ladies rumbled off to a midnight party. The sharp odor of fresh manure cut through the chill. Almost as suddenly, a round hatch opened in the middle of the street and two beetles crawled out, if beetles were the size of sheepdogs and made of shimmering, iridescent green metal. The beetles skittled across the snow-frosted cobbles toward the pile of manure and, working together, packed the scattered pile into a neat, round ball. Then one of the beetles turned around and used its hind legs to roll the ball backward into the hatch. Both beetles vanished after the ball, and the hatch closed. The entire process took only a few moments. William Covington Hanover had seen the rollers many times, but he still wasn't used to them. Unnatural they were, those glittering, skittering machines. Another invention of the Morning Stars. Brother and sister. Twins. Geniuses. They had designed the shining Morning Star Tower, the incandescent Star Hotel, built impossible bridges and the greenest of parks, engineered the underway, paved the streets in strange, silvery cobblestones that somehow absorbed the power of the sun, spun shimmering window glass that did the same, and forged the lion batteries that contained it all, created all manner of Morning Star machines, including the rollers that tidied the roads, mechanical snails that washed the windows, whirring dragonflies that did everything from drying shirts to cooling people in summer. For 57 years, the Morning Stars had performed architectural and mechanical wizardry to make New York City the most dazzling city in the world, or so New Yorkers claimed. And after seeing the gleaming metropolis of the future for himself, William begrudgingly had to agree. Though he was certain Theodore, not Teresa, was the true genius behind all this invention, as ladies were much more suited to embroidering cushions and giggling at tall men. But 4 weeks ago, Teresa and Theodore Morningstar had disappeared into the labyrinth of the Morningstar Tower and hadn't been seen or heard from since. Before they vanished, the twins deeded all their land and property to a trust in the city's name and left the city a parting gift, a sort of puzzle or treasure hunt. The first clue, some string of incomprehensible gibberish, was printed in the newspaper. That clue would lead to another clue. The newspaper headlines howled, and another, and would eventually reveal the greatest treasure known to man. The treasure only waited for a treasure hunter clever enough to discover it. Well, William Covington Hanover was clever enough to know a joke when he saw one. A treasure hunt? What nonsense! Some great game the Morning Stars played with an unwitting public, a public currently poring over the paper and then racing from one building to another on a wild goose chase. But the Morning Stars had also left not a small sum of money in trust to Miss Ava O'Neill, the young woman they had hired as help but looked upon as a granddaughter. And if anyone knew the secrets of the Morning Stars, if anyone knew where the real treasures were hidden, it was her. And because William Covington Hanover was a gentleman, or at least dressed like one, he would ask her nicely. After that, he intended to bleed her secrets out of her. Subtlety could take a man only so far. Miss Ava O'Neill continued walking until the elegant houses grew farther and farther apart, hidden by thickets of trees. When she reached West 73rd Street, Miss Ava finally slowed in front of a tall building with a light gray facade and surrounded on either side by two more nondescript buildings. He might not have known the center building to be a Morning Star building, except for the letters TTM etched into the cornerstones. Perhaps this was Miss Ava's home, bequeathed to her by her benefactors. It was a pretty enough structure. So far west that William smelled the rich, oily stew of the Hudson River, even in the cold. But William Covington Hanover had his sights set on bigger things. Gold and silver and shiny. May I help you? William stopped walking so abruptly he slid on those odd icy cobbles and had to pinwheel his arms for balance. Miss Ava O'Neill stood staring at him. Are you looking for someone? You've been following me for some time. William shaped his voice into that same plummy accent. Following you? My dear lady, I assure you that I... That's quite a coat. Who did you steal it from?
I beg your pardon. I was a general in the Queen's army and...
No doubt, she said rather rudely, just like an American.
But she was very pretty. Doe-eyed, full-lipped, that brown skin so smooth. She had to be at least 25 years old, but she looked younger. 17? 18? He switched tactics, smiling and spreading his arms.
I confess, I couldn't help but notice that you traveled unescorted, and even this beautiful city can be a dangerous place for a young woman.
So I've heard, she said, returning his smile. And you mean to protect me?
Indeed, he said, warming to the part. Let me introduce myself. My name is William Covington Hanover.
William Hanover? She tucked her book beneath one arm and clapped her hands. You don't say.
I do say.
Marvelous. Well, yes. I mean, thank you, dear lady.
He took another step toward her, then another, in order to loom more properly.
Did you have a disagreement with a cat, Mr. Hanover? Miss Ava murmured, peering up under thick lashes at his scars.
War takes its toll on us all, he said.
Please allow me to see you inside. I would rest so much more easy knowing that such a handsome young woman arrived safely at her destination.
You are delightful, said Miss Ava O'Neill. He couldn't help it. His smile deepened to a grin.
Thank you again.
Much more delightful than the others. His smile wavered.
The others?
The other men who have followed me. The ones given to clubbing people over the head and dragging them into dark alleys. Do you know, one of them had the nerve to propose to me after he threatened to cut out my eyes? I said no.
William's jaw dropped. Ava O'Neill withdrew her book from the folds of her cloak, placed the book beneath his chin, and gently closed his mouth.
Gentlemen, don't threaten to cut ladies' eyes out. It simply isn't done.
Not even in this book, which is quite scandalous.
Have you read Penelope?
She tilted the book so that he could read the cover,
but unless he needed kindling, William Covington Hanover had no use for books.
I can't say I've heard of it, Miss O'Neill, he said, holding out his elbow. Now, let's get you out of this chill.
Ah, you know my name.
Pardon?
My name.
You know it. She tapped his chest with her book.
You were following me.
Enough of this, he thought, and slapped the book from her hand. It slammed into the stone of the building and dropped into the thin crust of snow on the ground.
Oh, said Miss Ava, eyes widening.
Oh, he said, taking another step closer. I have a few questions for you.
Oh, she repeated, reaching up and laying a small hand on his shoulder.
She ran that hand down the length of his arm, curling her slim fingers around his pinky. Her full lips parted, as if she wanted to kiss him.
Then he heard the snap of his pinky as she broke it. He only had time to emit a strangled squeal before she kicked him in the kneecap and swept his feet out from under him as easily as if she were tumbling a puppy.
That, she said with a click of the tongue, is no way to treat Penelope, or me for that matter.
Her eyes shifted in the dim light, pupils shining like gunmetal. He scrabbled backward, pinky burning, shattered kneecap screaming. How could such a slight girl have wounded him so badly and so fast?
Wait, wait, you...
She advanced on him, floating in that strange way of hers. And yet I did.
This cannot be real.
Oh, I'm as real as anyone, and I am always and forever a lady.
Miss Ava bent close, smiling at him with gleaming pearly teeth.
Would you like to see what kind of lady I am, Mr. William Covington Hanover?
The others didn't like it, but perhaps you might.
No, William huffed, barely able to get the words from his throat because his heart had crawled up inside it. No, leave me be. I won't bother you anymore.
It's no bother.
Please, William said,
exactly what Lord Something or Other had said before the serving fork had found its mark.
Please.
She opened her mouth wide, and William squeezed his eyes shut, sure she would tear him to bits, roll him up, drop him at a deep, dark hole. Instead, she screamed a loud, piercing, ladylike shriek.
Help me! Oh, won't somebody help me?
His eyes flashed open in confusion. Miss Ava O'Neill scooped up her book and slapped his face with it, punctuating each word.
Cad! Beast! Ruffian!
One minute, the street was dark and empty. The next, coppers boiled out from the alleys and the woods and poured down the streets as if they'd expected some trouble, as if they'd expected this trouble.